One of the ways to learn the Bible and to know God is through the stories, no matter what age we are. And with the stories comes food for thought and a lesson hopefully learned. The story today is full of suspense, with a cast filled with characters. We have a king, an orphan girl, a cousin, a queen, and of course, what is a story without the bad guy, the villain? Our story begins with King Ahasuerus. He throws a banquet, not just any banquet, but a banquet that lasts 7 days. Picture it: food, music, entertainment, dancing, and drinking. This is some serious partying. Scripture says they were, quote, high in spirits. The king announces, "Bring in Queen Vashti." He wanted to show her beauty off to the guests because she was extremely good looking. But she refused to come in. And the king, he lost his temper. Furious over her disrespect, the king calls in the counselors and all the experts on legal matters. He asks them, what legal recourse can they have against the queen for not obeying him? Now, why legal recourse? Because if the queen can refuse to obey the king's command, then all the women will follow and do as she did and disobey their husbands too. Can you imagine? The counselor said, well, you know that there'll be no end of disrespect and discord. So, of course, the king removes the queen from her position. He wants to find a new king, queen, one who would be less opinionated, not so defiant. He decides to have his whole kingdom search for beautiful young women, and then one will be picked to be the new queen. Enters Esther. Esther was an orphan at a very young age. Mordecai, her cousin, took her in and raised her as if she were his own daughter. Esther, now a young woman, she is picked as a candidate to be queen. When the king saw Esther, he fell in love with her. As scripture says, she gained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen. Now, there was a man who was one of the king's closest friends. His name is Haman. He's a guy with a huge ego. Haman convinces the king to make a decree that whenever Haman's around, everyone in his presence should bow to him. Mordecai, he's Jewish. He will only bow to God. Mordecai says there's no way he will bow to Haman. Well, you can imagine Haman was mad. So Haman creates a plan to eliminate not just Mordecai, but all the Jews in Persia because Mordecai won't bow down to him. Haman tells the king that there is a group of people who do not honor the king's commands. He says, I quote, "If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy the Jews." The king says, "Haman, just do as you please." So another decree is declared, I quote, "Destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children." When Mordecai hears the king's orders, he tears off his clothes, sits in ashes, and cries for his people. But Mordecai isn't the only one crying. So are all the Jews. Word gets back to Esther that Mordecai is sitting outside the palace, completely distraught. Esther, greatly troubled by her cousin's grief, sends a messenger to find out what's going on. Mordecai returns a copy of the king's decree to Esther and begs her, please go to the king, beg for mercy for the Jews. Now, royal practice is that no one, including the queen, is allowed to enter the king's presence without his invitation. So Esther sends word back to Mordecai that she can't go strolling into the king's court without an invitation. He will have her head. He will kill her. Mordecai replies with this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, that you alone will, of all the Jews, will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will rise from another place. But your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this? Who knows? Maybe you have come to this royal position for a time as this. Then Esther sends back a reply to Mordecai. I quote, go gather up all the Jews and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my maids will fast as you do. And when this is done, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Esther concocts up this plan. She decides to hold a banquet in the king's honor, invite Haman, and show his true colors. Haman, now what's he doing? He's focusing on himself again. He's focusing on his huge ego, completely unaware of Esther's plan. He's feeling pretty good about the fact that he is the only one besides the king that has been invited to the banquet by the queen. At the feast, the king says to Esther, my dear, what is your request? I will give you anything you ask for, even up to half of my kingdom. Esther seizes the opportunity. This is perfect, exactly what she wanted to hear. She says, if I found favor with you, O king, and if it pleases your majesty, grant to me this one request. For I and my people have been sold to destruction, slaughter, and annihilation. The king asks Queen Esther, who is this? Where's this man who has dared to do such a thing? Esther replies, the adversary and enemy is that vile Haman. The king says, get him out of here and hang him. Esther then asks the king to overrule the proclamation stated by Haman to destroy all the Jews, and the king happily agrees. Esther continues to find favor with the king. Mordecai is elevated to second in command of the kingdom, and all the Jews in the region celebrate. And there's feasting and there's joy in the land, for the Jews have been spared. A happy ending to a remarkable story. A story that was full of twists, which is like life. A story full of turns, which is like life. A story full of plots and deception, which is like life, which resulted in ultimate victory for God's people, which is like life. The queen was there for such a time to save the Jews. Queen Esther turned out to be brave and courageous. She seized the opportunity. Are you and I like the queen, placed in a time or a season for such a time as this, for a reason, for a purpose? Do we need a Mordecai in our life to say to us, you know, who knows? Maybe you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. I think of the story, which is true, of a youth in Poland in mid-1900s, which I read in the book, Every Child, Every Day, Every Nation by Robert Morgan. The youth's name was Czesław Becerra, who was raised in a Christian family close to the remains of the Nazi concentration camp in Auschwitz. He became the leader of a communist organization group in his school. He truly, truly, strongly believed there was no God. And one night he made a homemade bomb and detonated it at a Christian group meeting, which was at his own home. No one was killed, and the people dedicated themselves to pray for him. A few months later, he was invited to a Christian camp. He went. He wasn't sure why. Prayers, perhaps. Every night at camp, he sat through the stories of the gospel. And one night, a Polish preacher was explaining the word of God and telling the stories that saved many. And in the silence of the moment, in a tiny, tiny sliver of a window of time, the young communist heard the Lord tell him, "This is your time. It will never again be given to you." He seized the moment. He received Christ as his Savior. He went home and attended church meetings, not communist meetings, and with the very people he tried to kill. He was invited to teach children, later attended theological studies. He became leader of a group called Children Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF, which is still strong today through 197 countries. And he became a leader with his wife, Helena, in God's work behind the Iron Curtain. I say today, as Mordecai did to Queen Esther, who knows? Maybe you've come to this royal position for such a time as this. How are you and I going to respond to that? God has placed us where we are for such a time as this. For a time for what? Is this a time for us to go home and forgive? Is this a time to ask for forgiveness? Is this a time to ask Christ into your heart? As you know, the program Freedom in Christ was this past weekend, and 23 people walked through our doors Friday night, and that took courage. And they addressed and renounced such burdens on their heart as anger, shame, maybe guilt, hatred, need to forgive someone, and much more. Did they feel it was such a time as this to step up and get rid of those burdens and pain? Yes. Was it comfortable? I imagine not. Were they brave? Absolutely. I pray that God may speak to our Mordecai and remind us that we are in this place for a reason. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we ask you to open the hearts here and the names on our heart. We ask you, Lord, to say to us, this is the time. In Jesus' name, amen.